Hello, hello, and welcome, y'all. This is Sarah Michael. I am the founder of Sparkling Results and the creator of Project You. And this is the Ways We Hide Masterclass. And I'm so thrilled you're here. So happy and honored that you took time out of your busy schedule, out of your busy lives to join me, whether you're here live or getting it via the recording. I don't really care. I just want to get this information into your hearts and your minds, as I was saying. So one thing to say is if you are on a line where you are able to just self-mute yourself, use your mute button, go right ahead and do that. If you're not on that type of phone, say you're on a landline, you can press star mute via the phone pad, you know, via the keypad to mute yourself. So just FYI on that, and we'll have a nice clean line for everyone. And again, welcome. This is the Ways We Hide Without Realizing It Masterclass. And I'm probably going to say this about 14 times today, but I'm going to say it now. I'm going to give you guys like really over a dozen ways. They kind of kept tumbling out, and I'd hear something or be talking to a client or whatnot, see something on social media and have another thought of one to add. So I'm going to be giving you all these activities. They're generally activities, marketing, possibly business, definitely activities. And I want to just say right now, you can, if you're taking notes, put it on the top of your paper. I really want to prevent y'all from feeling like everything you've learned, because a lot of what you've learned and a lot of what you've been exposed to is going to come up in one way, shape, or form today. And I don't want you to feel like it's all for naught. None of what I'm saying, none of these activities are inherently ineffective, are inherently bad or wrong. They go sideways for us in certain circumstances, and they're really easy ways to hide. They're things and activities where we can basically put that thing or that person or that activity kind of ahead of ourselves. That's why it's this insidious way of hiding, and it's not very obvious, and it feels really productive, and it feels really purposeful, and that's why it can be such a slippery slope. So before I jump into all of today, and I've got a lot for you guys, I just want to give you a couple minutes. If you're new to my world, let you know who I am. But I'm going to be really quick about it. I'm not going to talk about me much. I want to get this focused on you guys. So I have been working in marketing, branding, messaging, all things promotional marketing for over 15 years. And writing, messaging, finding words, seeing messaging is really one of my kind of topmost gifts. I have a lot of gifts, and it's really one of the gifts I consider myself in the 1% of, being able to help you find those words and that messaging as well as intuiting them. And I spent about 8 years in the financial industry, specifically bankruptcies and distressed companies, turnarounds as what they're called, restructurings. And I learned a lot, a ton, about how businesses succeed and fail. And it's definitely given me and my own business a lot of really practical perspectives on business and cash flow and revenue and time and money and getting it done and keeping it all together, seeing what's a priority, what's not a priority. And without those 8 years, I don't know how well I would have done with this whole business thing. I had a lot coming in that really helped me. Didn't reveal itself until it did, but I was like, wow, I'm really glad I learned X, Y, and Z, you know, 5, 6 years ago. And I did. I started my own business over 4 years ago. Really quickly consumed a lot of training, coaching, had my own mentors all along, and exposed myself really to the whole transformational healing, coaching, personal development industry. I live in LA, which provided me proximity to a lot of what goes on in this industry, and I really took advantage of it. One of the activities I'm going to talk about today, and I'll give you a little, you know, I'll give you the topic, we're going to go into it in a little minute, is hiding behind others or putting other people in front of you or you know, standing behind others, another's brand. That's one of the things that I personally did at the very beginning. I was even vaguely aware, I don't know if I was truly aware, but I was vaguely aware that there was a part of me that wasn't ready to step into owning my own work, and that's why it felt good to align myself with basically I was I never met the measures actually to become this person's coach, but essentially it was that kind of setup where, you know, I would have been her coach, her brand, etc., and I never met the measures because I was never in alignment with her and her company, and I wanted in my heart and my soul to build my own company, so it was never in alignment, and I never did very well, but gosh, you know, I I'm really happy it didn't go well. If it had gone well, I probably would have ended up working for her, quote unquote, for a while and not articulating, not clarifying, not stepping out with my own work. And that's where it can get, that's where it can get insidious. But I'll go into more of that in a minute. So today I will be sharing those many, many ways we can hide without realizing it. And the key to today is clarity for you guys. The key is awareness. I want y'all to see these things coming. I want you to have a little internal early warning system when you're approached about opportunities or when you see something flying through Facebook that looks like a good idea. And if you're already in certain situations or doing certain of these activities, I want you to, right now, meaning you can't prevent it, but you're in it now, I want you to be able to assess it and choose and actually make a choice whether to continue that activity or to, you know, segue yourself on out of it. That's what it's all about today, that awareness, the clarity. I want you to be able to see it in your lives, know what's going on, and be able to have some choice around it and not just be on default or rhythm. You're not just doing it because it's in front of you. Now, if you're here, it's because first and foremost, you're a leader and you're a feminine leader. You want to do business in a way that honors that divine inner feminine and also get the results, also help people, also make money, also serve in a big, big way and have a big impact. And I also know that you're focused on that growth piece, that awareness piece, the self-discovery, and finding your way, the way that works for you to do business. Out of all the cookie cutter, all the three-step systems, which are wonderful things in and of themselves, finding your way. And you are different. I will say that focus on inner growth, that focus on awareness, that, and not just focus, but your value on growth, your value on a self-awareness, your value on self-discovery, that does set you apart from a lot of people. Not just in the global, you know, everybody, the general population, but also within the coaching, transformation, healing industry. So you guys are special. You guys are focused on the awareness and the inner stuff. It doesn't mean you're not doing outer stuff and helping people achieve their, you know, in this world, three-dimensional time and space currently, you know, goals, but you're also focused on that inner part. Now, there are four main areas. So before I get into kind of the meat of everything, just to reiterate, those four areas are hiding behind someone else. That would be, kind of what I just spoke of, hiding behind someone else. The next is hitching our wagon to others. May sound different, but it's a little, I mean, it may sound similar, but it's a little different. And definitely the examples and the activities are different, so I want y'all to be aware of those and the difference. The next is getting caught up in the content creation, writing, blogging, posting, or the video creation. You know, focus on all these videos. The fourth is that you're switching gears or switching your focus too much. And And again, none of these things necessarily bad or ineffective. We need to be deliberate. We need to have discernment. We need to make a conscious choice and not just be reacting. There's a lot of reactionary entrepreneurs out there, and I want you guys having choice. I want you guys slowing down enough to make a decision and have it be aligned, because you did your thought thinking, you did your feeling, you did your meditating, you did your data analysis, you did your pros and cons, column, whatever it is for you to get to a decision or a choice. I want you to have the awareness, enough awareness to actually go through that process. And then lastly, I'll show you guys how to take this insight and clarity deeper before we wrap up, for those of you guys who want more. And near the end of the day, I'm also going to provide some ideas of how you can assess the activities and choose deliberately, as well as how, the reason several, at least, of these activities can be a way we hide is because very often a deliberate or a thoughtful revenue plan or money plan or income plan is not thought through. So these activities are embarked upon. We go out there and expend a lot of energy, a lot of time, potentially a lot of money, without a strategy to bring in money at some point in that cycle. That's really, about half of these. That's usually the problem. It's not the activity inherently. It's that there's no strategy attached. There's no focus on, and then where is the ask going to be? Where is the offer going to be? And we got to be doing that. And I'll also open up the lines so you can ask questions and receive some laser coaching. But for right now, I want to distinguish what they are and how they show up. Now, let's just jump in. I'm actually going to move something in my notes because I want to talk about it in a minute. All of these items, though, all of these activities, or not even these activities, the hiding, the reason we may hide, the reason we may latch on, and I use that word deliberately, the reason we may latch on to a certain activity, where there's, inside, subconsciously, there's a part of us that is allowing that to be the spotlight, that to take the spotlight, that to be the thing we lead with instead of our work, ourselves being what we lead with. It all comes down to, and some of you guys have been around for a while, have heard me talk about survival instincts for us women, specifically for us women, the survival instinct to stay connected to other people. It's fundamental. All, any reason we may decide to hitch our wagon to somebody else, hide behind somebody else, get caught up in video creation or content creation without a strategy, switching gears or your focus too much, it all relates to that connection piece. Something has triggered us, something has made us fear, or we are preemptively, proactively worried about disconnecting by stepping out on our own, by being the one in the spotlight. Perhaps we don't feel like we have enough training yet. That's usually a bunch of BS, frankly, that we don't have enough training. But, that might be the reason. So we're going to align with this other coach and work for them until we have enough experience or whatnot. So if you imagine, thinking of, back in the day, caveman, cavewoman time, our cavewoman would want to be connected to her tribe at all times. And if she wasn't, if she was disconnected from her tribe, the world and their environment, it became a very dangerous place to be very quickly, because potentially she could be ousted, like literally, expelled from the tribe. And left to her own devices. If they were to migrate, say, the tribe, she might be left behind, or maybe she would have a less a less prominent or a less comfortable, you know, place. You know, if you imagine the, you know, the migrating, you know, tribes, you know, there'd be the front of the line and the back of the line. Maybe she'd be at the back of the line, and maybe that has something to do with the kind of food she got, the kind of breath she got. I don't know. I wasn't there. But there was, you know, she would be somehow, you know, put in a place where her survival was not as assured. And that's why that connection comes up for you, for us, all the time. And I've been working in this work, noticing where my cave woman worries about connection, worries about disconnection. I've been doing this work now for over 7 years, and here's the thing. She doesn't go away. She doesn't disappear. Always going to have these little niggling things, and it's because it's a survival instinct. We're designed so it doesn't completely go away, because it keeps us safe a lot of the time. So it's not like we can just like set it and forget it, and we'll never have cavewoman bother us again, such that it's a bother, or that fear stuff can feel like a bother. Now she'll just move on to something else, and that's why this awareness piece is so important. Okay, so that first category, hiding behind someone else, and I'll add here, hiding behind someone else or their ideas, their system, their formula, their words, their methods. I could use a lot of more, you know, like anything. Hiding behind somebody else. In this context, in this bucket category, first way is looking outside of yourself, looking outside, looking at others, looking on social media, going to networking events and looking at what other people are doing, looking outside of ourselves to figure out what we can offer, what we can do, you know, like our actual work, what we can sell, who we work with, all of those things. We look outside instead of looking inside. We look outside for what's on the menu. I'll talk about this in a minute. This one's all about choosing from the menu. Looking outside of us to see what is acceptable, to see what's on the menu, to see what will keep us connected if we do it. The assumption of our cavewoman is if we do something that's not on the menu, we're going to somehow disconnect from people. And that's just not the case. That's a whole different masterclass. But that's the worry, is if we do something that is not demonstrated, if we do something that we don't already see, it will somehow cause a disconnection, and that will render us unsafe. And the next one. Very related, but it's kind of a different vantage point. Only doing or being what you see demonstrated out there. So there can be some good things we pick up from people, y'all. I mean, you know, definitely love to be inspired by other people. Love to hear even, you know, I'm such the word girl, a great turn of phrase from someone else. I love that stuff. I love being inspired. But it's when we're only doing or being what we see other people doing or being. So, you know, a great example would be, you know, so many clients or potential clients, we've had these conversations, and I'm all about breaking the mold of what we can do, because they'll say, well, you know, I had this idea to, you know, do this event, and it was this, that, and the other, but I've never seen anyone else do it, so will it be successful? And my answer invariably is, well, A, the success of the event has actually very little to do with whether or not the event and was inspired or creative or fits a need or fills a gap. You know, like you can have the most perfect event, and how it gets filled, how it is a success, has to do with your action and your marketing ahead of time. Unfortunately, people use, well, it didn't fill, so, you know, my event didn't fill, so it must have been a bad idea. Do not do that. That's a different masterclass too. But we, you know, there could be maybe some ways to tweak it or make it stronger. You could have missed the mark, possibly, but more than likely, and in my opinion, you know, you had a great idea, but somehow the marketing or the action wasn't enough, wasn't on point, you weren't reaching the right people. So that's what made it hard to fail. So, you know, looking outside, only doing what we see other people doing. Because here's the other part of that. If we're only doing what other people are doing or being, you know, how they're acting, their confidence, if we're trying to be that, you know, if we're trying to be anything, we can't really be that thing. So it, A, comes across as inauthentic, doesn't feel like you because it's frankly not you. And it also sounds like everybody else. And in this sea, this big, wide open sea of coaches, healers, transformational, you know, helper people, as I call us, you know, we have to stand out. We have to find ways to be different, to sound different, and to look different. Otherwise, it's really hard for our ideal clients to find us, right? Because everybody sounds the same. Now, the next one, this might cause some, you know, Twitter patient or perturbation, which basically means discomfort. I learned that at a workshop I went to in some of y'all. But the next one is about multi-level marketing, direct marketing, network marketing. I think it's also called direct sales. MLM is the nickname, so multi-level marketing. And it feels like a good time to remind y'all, nothing's inherently ineffective or bad. But this one with the MLMs, I'm really passionate about because I see a lot of entrepreneurs aligning with a multi-level marketing product or service. And, well, I'm actually going to not even speak to the people who align to a multi-level marketing service or product that is not aligned with their business. Say, you know, a business coach, you know, who... Well, I'll say this, you know, a straight up business coach, very much like the financial, your records, your systems, your cash flow, your balances, someone like that, like a business coach where they're deep into your like money systems, your money, your cash flow, your payroll, your P&L, those kind of reporting aspects. Were they to, you know, there's a travel multi-level marketing out there where basically you sign up and you build your team, but you get discounts on travel, and it's kind of cool. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, you know, but they sign up for that. And so I'm not even going to talk about when it doesn't align with your business, because why is the financial business coach, you know, like, how does that align? It's not part of her message. It's not even relevant. So let's even take those people off the table. Although all of this insight applies. But I want to talk about the people where it does align. The health coach that, you know, has one of the umpteen MLMs around supplements and vitamins and shakes. And, I mean, there's like Isagenics and oh, I don't know, there's so many. You know, all these things that you can, but they're multi-level marketing firms, make no mistake. And then there's also health coaches I've seen get really into the essential oils. And that is relevant. You know, they use them in their business. They use them on clients. So it is relevant. So wonderful things, guys. If it's relevant, if it's on message, if it works, you know, in order for you to help serve clients better, that could be a great thing for you to incorporate into your business. But you notice I said incorporate, not make it your business. Because what a lot of folks end up doing is instead of being, you know, Joan, the amazing health coach that's actually helped clients cure cancer. Actually, I'm changing some names here to protect the innocent, so to speak, but actually have a client or had a client for a while. We didn't end up doing a ton of work together, but, you know, she's actually solved cancer. She's cured cancer in her clients. And if you got close to her in the last several years and even before then, you would hear about the essential oils. You would think that all she does is essential oils. You would never hear about her actual health coaching, the actual radical transformational shifts that are going on in her clients' lives. You would hear about the essential oils. And can y'all see how that keeps her hidden? Like, her actual work in the world is downplayed buy the oils, buy the shakes or the supplements for a different kind of health coach. That's what I'm talking about. Where really, were we to do some inner mindset work, some belief work, some messaging work, whatever needs to happen, there's an element in that person, whoever she is or he or she is, that needs to start standing in her value, that needs to own the power of her really amazing work. So there's some healing there. Maybe there's some words that need to happen. Maybe there's some strategies so she understands how to do it when she's not just holding up a product. You know, it's all very understandable why we could slip into this, but it's such a shame because the amazing work that in my mind and I am of the opinion will start changing or start solving the world's big problems faster. The amazing work that's out there isn't getting out there in a big enough way because we're hiding behind these type of things. And I'll say, you know, to kind of wrap up that point, you know, use the oils, use the shakes, use the supplements. Have them be one of the ways you help people. They then become a tool. And they are a tool. I mean, that's the thing. Whether or not you're saying you're with essential oils or you're with your own coaching company, it is only a tool. It is what's known as a feature, not a benefit. It's one of the ways you get results for your clients. It's one of your tools. It's not what your clients receive. They don't just receive oils. They receive transformation. They receive more energy. They receive, you know, better health, whatever that looks like. So for each of these four buckets, what I've done is I also am going to tell you what's really going on. So what's really going on here is that choosing from the menu. Choosing what you see other people doing, what you think will be accepted and will keep you connected, and what you think, and this is all coming from inner cave woman, little girl, you know, our subconscious sides. All these decisions are being run by your little girl, by your subconscious, by the fear. You know, or we decide that it's easier somehow or safer to lead with essential oils, to lead with a multi-level marketing product or service. There's also, you know, a thing right now where it is like coaching. It's kind of like a coaching MLM, you know, so could be a service. And, yeah, it seems like it's easier. Maybe it's easier to articulate. That's why it might be that one of the solutions here is to get you the words you need. It seems easier. People, like, at least kind of get it. But since it's not really your big work in the world, it's not going to change enough lives. You're not going to hit what I've heard Lisa Sasevich call your dime. Getting on your dime, you know, it'll have you be just off your dime. And better, you know, better to figure out what you want, figure out what you want to promote, what you want to create, what your results are, whatever that looks like for you. Better to do all that work, do the inner work so you can be confident and powerful when you're out there, either online or off, and come out as you. Come out as the transformational healer, the transformational leader, the transformational coach you already are, that you are in your bones. So here I want to tell a little story. I started to tell this when I was telling you about my background. I do want to tell you a little more about 4 years ago, about when I was aligned with this coaching company. So this would be hiding behind somebody else. It was a system where, you know, I had to sell a certain amount of new clients into her firm, and as I did, I would ascend the ranks, and ultimately I would become a full coach of hers, and with it, I would receive clients through her lead generation. I mean, that's what perked my interest or piqued my interest initially was, you know, knowing even before I started my business that getting leads was going to be the most, you know, kind of challenging aspect. So I was like, ooh, well, yeah, if you can bring me leads, that would be awesome. Well, but it was about her. It wasn't about me. It was her work, her systems, her technology, as I've heard it called, you know, her work, not mine. But it kept me really busy. And this is one way where, you know, I saw this really early in my business. Kept me really, really busy working for her, so to speak, or you know, connecting and selling and finding leads for her at the beginning, you know, because I never rose through the ranks, so I never did reap the rewards. So it kept me really busy. It felt right, y'all. You know, here I was. I just left the corporate world, started my own business. You know, now I'm aligned with this other coach. Like, it felt on purpose. It felt like I was making productive progress towards my own business. And I was. I was doing both at the same time, but, and I use but deliberately, but it was diluting my energies, it was diverting my energies, and I really wasn't focused on sparkling results. I was focused on her company and her brand. But it felt right. You know, and I've talked to clients, you know, since then, and, oh, well, you know, similar opportunities. And I, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to help you think through, talk through, sort through opportunities. I'm not going to, no, I'm not here to say yay or nay. I'm not here to bless, you know, your plans per se. I'm not here to douse your flame for sure. But I am here to help you consider all angles. And that's what I did for these few clients is, you know, it's up to you, but let's talk through. Let's talk about how we can end up hiding, how we can stay small, how it can feel really productive, really on purpose, and really busy doing something like that. And it can just divert us. That's the thing. It can go on for months. It can go on for years. And we wake up and we realize that we're actually not where we want to be. So awesome. Next bucket or category, hitching our wagon to others. So, you know, some of these kind of connect with each other, but there's different parts I want to draw out. Some of you guys who are familiar with me know how that kind of rolls in my world. So hitching our wagon to others. First one, becoming someone else's coach exclusively. Like, you work for them. You are their healer. You are their chiropractor. You are their health coach. You are their sidekick. I mean, essentially, you become part of their team such that you don't have a brand of your own. You have their brand. This is different because this is not an MLM. This is like actually like really working for someone else. Exclusively, you know, they're taking all of your time. You may even have to sign a form about like a do not compete where, you know, you can't quote, you know, enroll their clients in your own coaching. I've even seen, you know, opportunities, you know, where the contractual goes on for a while because the woman had an existing business ahead of time, but now is being basically, you know, going to be a top woman in another woman's business or whatever, and really had to kind of close her own business for a couple of years. And in that case, I think for her, in her situation, it was a great idea. I'm speaking specifically to a real life example. For her, that was a great thing for her to do at the time. Just may not be the greatest thing for all of us to do, depending on when. And that's where the choice and the discernment come in. I think for that woman, it was a really great idea. I think she brought a lot, she got a lot, all that good stuff. We just have to watch it. We just have to be sure. I mean, full disclosure, one of my mentors, Lisa Cherney, I am one of her online coaches. And it's about 5 hours a month. Sometimes it might balloon to about 10 hours a month. And in no way, shape, or form am I precluded from, you know, sparkling results. I have not been absorbed into Lisa Cherney's brand. I am one of her online coaches, and that's it. So, again, discernment. I mean, if she had wanted me to be her online coach and, you know, she was going to pay me a full-time salary, I wouldn't have said yes. I wouldn't have said yes. It's not what I wanted. I didn't want to be somebody else's coach. It was gratifying. It was wonderful to feel validated for how good I am at the word piece and the messaging piece. But I wouldn't want to do it 100% of my time. I certainly wouldn't want to be prevented from marketing and promoting sparkling results. Oh, no, no. Now, this next one in hitching our wagon to others, this one's about collaborating with others excessively, I'll say, or co-hosting events excessively, where you're kind of bouncing from one collaboration to one to the next. To the next co-hosting, meaning you're kind of teaming up with one or two women or people to put on this event. And, yeah, let me talk about this one a little bit. I won't wait till the end. So this one, again, may get some of your wrinkles up. It might cause some perturbation, some discomfort, because we've all done that. And it can be awesome. It can be a really wonderful thing. Except if you've been around the block a couple times, if you've been out there marketing your business, if you've had any events, whether online or off, y'all, it takes work, it takes strategy, it takes marketing, and it takes consistency to fill a room, fill an online room, or fill an offline room. It takes work. So imagine with me, you know, you're co-hosting this event, it's 3 months away, you both spend basically the lion's share of that 3 months getting your marketing materials together, planning the promotional schedule, where are you going to go, what are you going to do, you know, who's got what, divvying up the duties and the action and the responsibilities. And then you're going to go out there, you know, so that takes you, let's say, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and then you're going to take 8 weeks or 6 weeks, and you're going to be out there promoting, filling that event, online or off. That's going to basically take most, if not all, of the time allocated to marketing in a given week. I am pulling together a lot of kind of advanced topics here, so part of this is about time management. And, you know, each week we should have some marketing time in our calendar. We serve our clients, we have marketing time, we have administration time, we have sales conversation time. So in that marketing allocation, say you have 6 hours a week for marketing, which honestly could be a good number depending on who you are. It doesn't have to be 30 hours. But say you have 6 hours. You're pretty much going to spend those 6 hours every week promoting the event, filling the event that you're co-hosting with this other person. And this is where I mentioned at the beginning, having the revenue strategy, having the money plan is so crucial, because if there's a money plan, if there's a revenue strategy, then you could spend that 3 months working really hard and see a payday. And see it pay off on the back end. A lot of the times that's where those events, you don't necessarily see the money up front because it's about a low cost or a free event, but then there's some sort of upsell or whatnot. And so, yeah, it can take up all your time. You won't be marketing for yourself as much. And I've done this one. I've done this one, but I've done it. I've danced around it enough. You won't market yourself enough. You'll be focused on the event. Or whatever, or the collaboration, and you'll probably wake up at some point and not have enough clients. You won't have enough leads, you won't have enough clients, you won't be making the money you want to be making, and it's because you spent, you know, it might not be until after the event is over. I mean, marketing cycles work where, you know, things we do now, we see results for in 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. So, you know, So all the marketing you weren't doing for yourself while you were promoting the event may show up in not enough leads after the event, 4 weeks after, whatever. It'll show up. It will show up. You know, any inaction or action will show up in your results within 4, 6, 8 weeks, how it works. I'll talk a little more about all of that in a second. I want to tell you guys a story about my own experience. And then the third one here with hitching our wagons to others is promoting others instead of or at the expense of ourselves. So this one can play out in a couple different ways. Yeah, and this is where that connection piece. We want to say yes. We want to say yes when people say, can you promote me? Can you help me spread the word? Can you mail to your list? Et cetera, et cetera. So we say yes. And then we follow through because we have integrity and you know, we honor our word. And then a week later, 4 days later, 2 weeks later, something like that, and I've definitely fallen into this before, we realize that it's time for us to start promoting something. It's time for us to promote our next masterclass or our next program or whatnot. But you've just sent all these emails promoting somebody else, and you don't feel like you can send anything to your list right now about somebody else. Like, the only thing you can send to your list is about you, and it needs to be nurturing content. It needs to be, you know, value-driven, content-driven, versus an ask or an offer or somebody, and especially not somebody else. I actually was, I've been reaching out to get JV and support promoting for my next round of Project You this morning. And one of the women I reached out to wrote back and said that she doesn't think she could. She just promoted two events and she's starting to see people unsubscribe. And I was like, right on, lady, then it is not the time for you to be promoting me. You know, you need to nurture that list. You need to get them back on track. But that is her list saying, you know, enough to a certain extent. I had that happen, that exact thing. I had actually, this is an awesome story. So I had agreed to promote somebody, and that was in and of itself great. Like, that had been on my calendar for like 4 months, and I was really happy to be promoting this woman, happy to be part of it. But then, this is co-hosting events, then one of my dearest friends ever and I got it into our craw to create this, like, co-program. We called it the Ka-Ching Club. It was all about, you know, money systems and manifestation and prosperity practices and stuff. And it was a really inspired idea. But we basically dropped everything and began promoting the Ka-Ching Club. But I had literally just, I actually had to wait to promote the Ka-Ching Club. I actually remember she was a little cranky with me because she didn't, I don't think she registered when I told her that I wouldn't be able to mail to my list for at least a week and a half because I was still in the middle of this other woman's promotions. I don't think my friend had heard me because she was a little angry that I hadn't emailed. And I was like, I have to wait. Like, I have to do these three emails. I've committed to them, you know, for months. And then I will start. So I went straight into promoting. I probably lost about 50 to 100 people on my list, which is not that huge. My list is about 900, and it kind of has stayed right about that for several years now, 3 years now. So to lose 100 people, 50 people, that's a lot. But it's because, but here's the thing. So promoting other people, co-hosting events, using all of that attention capital, I call, you know, our list, our social media, networking, attention capital, getting people's attention. I used all of that on other people in this co-event. So is it at any surprise that I looked up like 2 months later and I was like, oh, I don't have enough leads. Oh, I don't like where my leads are. Because I've been promoting other people, didn't have time to send anything for my list. The Ka-Ching Club that I was running with my friend, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't going to make us a ton of money. It was more of a community service, and it was fun. So, yeah, there's lots of slippery slopes. What's going on with this one? Could be one or two things. I already mentioned, you know, because you want to say yes and stay connected. So the first one, what could be going on is you don't feel like you can say no. You know, collaborating, co-hosting. Second thing could be going on is that you're not confident or assured enough in your own work to be the one out front, to be the one in the spotlight. So you'd either rather promote other people or kind of be part of a team, even if it's just a team of two, where it's us putting ourselves out there, not just me. Yeah. Now, this next bucket, getting caught up in the content or video creation. First one here is creating that content, video, posts, blogs, emails, without having a strategic plan to create relationships, to create conversations, to take people through a process where some small percentage of those people will become your client. So it's this focus on creation and writing and video, and you know I'm the queen of video. You know, like, it's this, I'm pushing all this content out without knowing, and then following up and making sure it happens without knowing how it's going to turn into dollars. And this is where I think a lot of the messaging online and, you know, all you need to do is a blog calendar and 30 days of blogs and you're going to be ranking in the money. It's not that simple, y'all. You know, so pushing out all that information, there's got to be a strategy behind it. It's leading to an ask. It's leading to an offer. It's leading to a program. It's leading to more content that will then lead to an offer. But it's not just about throwing our content around, y'all. I see a lot of people online on Facebook in the groups just throwing stuff out. And it feels really busy. Back to that, feels really busy, feels really on purpose, and feels like we're doing something really positive. Really does feel like we're putting ourselves out there. And we are. But if your goal is to be a successful business, if your goal is to make money, if your goal is to help a lot of people or even some people, it's not going to necessarily meet those goals. The next one, and I touched on this because it relates to the multi-level marketing, and that's relying on or defaulting to your house, e.g. your features. So defaulting to telling people that you do essential oils or that you are a Reiki practitioner or whatnot. When we do that, we put the focus on our tools, not the growth, not the results that our clients can have. And when we focus on the results and the benefits our clients can have that change lives profoundly, that requires us to be standing in our power, owning our work, owning our genius, owning our gifts, like, yep, just owning that. And it can be easier to just own the tool, own the house, own that I was certified, own that I was a therapist, own that, you know, I was an author even, you know, like own the thing, own the how versus owning the what, owning the benefit. It's one of the ways, but yeah. And the last one here is not making an offer. Doing all that content creation, the video creation, and not making an offer at some point. Or an invitation. It doesn't have to be salesy. It doesn't have to be slimy. Y'all know me well enough to know, you know, but we got to make an offer. We got to have an ask sometimes. Doesn't have to be every time. That would be weird. But we got to have an ask. We got to make an invitation. And you guys are savvy enough to understand that sales is service. That we sell so we can help people. And it goes right to that. We can't help people if we never make an offer. I have a coach who called it punking out on our offer. And I was like, I think that's hilarious. I'm like, totally. You know, it's totally punking out. We just lose our confidence. Now, what's really going on with this one is this could be a fear of one-on-one conversations. This could be a fear of sales. This could be a fear of making an offer. This could be a fear of people saying no, people getting disconnected because you actually had something for sale and you mentioned money. So this one can definitely be where, like, you know, those fears of one-on-one interactions, fears of actually selling, actually asking for money can be a big part of what's going on here behind the scenes. Because it's, you know, if you're afraid to sell, then it's going to really seem attractive to, you know, do a blog calendar for 60 days and just write. Like if you're afraid to have conversations, you're afraid to make offers, that's going to feel really on purpose and really great to just focus on writing, but not have any sense of or any focus on drawing them into conversations, converting them to clients if they're a fit. That's the thing, guys. We don't make offers to people who aren't fit. We don't even probably get into the sales conversation with people who aren't a fit. But we definitely don't make an offer to someone who's not a fit. So it's not that you know, this is a percentage. This is a small percentage of who we actually get exposed to will end up in that conversation. And we need to be comfortable in that conversation. We need to not avoid that conversation. Or it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a way we hide because we're doing all the things, we're writing all the blogs, we're shooting all the videos, but we're not really helping people because we're not out there selling, we're not having the conversations we need to have. Nice. So the last category, switching gears and your focus too much. And now here, I'm going to start, first one here, is believing or thinking that no one gets you, understands you, or no one gets your work or understands your work. So you switch your work, so you change you, so you copy. I'm just going to use the word copy. So you copy what some other coach is saying or some other healer is saying. There is a way to help people get what you do and your work. And if they don't, it just means you need to keep working on that. It doesn't mean you switch what you do. It doesn't mean you go get more training. It doesn't mean it's just so you can hide behind the certification and say, I'm certified in. It's not going to get you any clients any easier. Because without a benefit, it's hard to sign up clients when you're just saying, I'm a coach. You change you in some way. Heaven forbid you take it all, you know, you take your ball and go home and you decide you're not going to do this anymore. Yeah. Don't change you. Don't change what you do. Don't change your work just because they don't get it. We got to find your words. But don't change you, y'all. Your work, who you are, is too precious. And therefore, in my mind, your work is too precious. We need your work. We need your exact expression of your work just as it is. So don't change you. Keep going. Find a way. There's a way. Don't change you and don't change your work. Next one is trying an offer, trying a messaging or a campaign or a theme, you know, for a few times, a few posts or a week or maybe even a month. But you basically throw something out there a little, you know, probably less than about, I'm going to say about 10 touches. Usually it ends up being more like 5. But basically taking a very small amount of data. So you did a few posts, you told a few people, et cetera, et cetera. You take a small amount of data and you decide that nobody wants it, nobody gets it, and you switch gears. Stuff takes longer than that, y'all. People are busy. They don't even see it the first time. You know, maybe the second or third time you actually catch their attention. You know, you got to keep going. You got to try something. In my mind, you have to have, you know, you have to stay focused on one thing for about 3 months with sufficient action to truly assess whether or not it's working. Yeah, got to give it at least that. And honestly, it's probably better for more, but I also understand the impulse of doesn't really seem to be working. I kind of getting pulled over here and I want to try something different. Just slow down enough to give it 3 months, 2.5 at the least. But definitely don't make any radical decisions after a few posts. I've talked to clients and they're like, well, you know, I told a few people and no one wanted it, so I don't think it's a good idea. No, a few people is not a consensus. I spoke to a woman this morning because a gal I know on Facebook, and I reached out because I saw her promoting a group program a couple weeks ago, and that actually kind of surprised me because the last time we talked, you know, she was kind of headed into some inner reflection time and integration time, so I was kind of surprised to see her coming out with this group. And her response was, you know, I'm like, how'd it go? What's going on? And she said, well, I didn't get a lot of traction, you know. She posted twice. She probably didn't have a single conversation. She posted twice, didn't have a single conversation, and she decided there wasn't enough interest. So she's switching gears. No, there's not enough information, not enough data. My data brain is like, there's not enough data. We can't make that assumption yet. And then I put this one here because I do think it's a niggling bugaboo that we need to be aware of, and that is comparing ourselves to others. Because that comparison can cause us to switch gears. It can cause us to change our topic, change our tune, change our messaging, whatever. When we're comparing to others, it's kind of that looking out one. But staying, you know, staying true and confident even in, and I know it's hard, you guys. You know, I have so been around the block, and I know some days are tough, and it doesn't seem like anyone gets it, and it feels like it's not working. I know it's tough sometimes to stay in your confidence. I know it can be a full-time job just to maintain our kind of confidence and our equilibrium there. I get that. And I just really want, as much as you can, I want you to have like business BFFs that you can call, that can reboot you, that can remind you of how awesome you are. That's what I want for you. So that's all of them, guys. I do want to reiterate, all of these things can be awesome at the right time for the right person, as part of your business, as a piece of your business. And I just want you making discerning choices. I just want you being able to have the tough conversations. I mean, with some of the co-hosting and or the hitching your wagon, like, you can talk through a lot of the things that could make it a thing you could hide behind. I didn't tell the story because I got into the story about promoting Nadine and then doing the Kitchen Club with Tiffany. But I should tell this story now because it's very relevant in the conversation realm. About 3 years ago, there was a woman here in Orange County. We'd gotten close. We wanted to do an event together. We talked, you know, we were actually going to do a course together, and which was good because it required us to slow down enough to really talk through some of this stuff. And ultimately, and there were some tough conversations along the lines of, okay, so if someone likes what we're saying up there in the front of the room or during our course or whatever, and someone approaches me about doing some more work together, do you get a split of that? Do you keep yours and I keep mine? What happens if 10 people want me and 2 people want you? You know, y'all make, that's, you know, you got to talk about that stuff ahead of time. Otherwise, there'll be upsets. But actually, in talking through some of that stuff with this woman, we actually decided that it would not be a viable program to go in with each other on. It would have been a great program, but, you know, it was going to take over 5-6 months. We weren't going to make a lot of money from the initial course. And it just started to get really complicated when we started talking about how do we make clean offers at the end of the course, you know, some going to you, some going to me, how do we make an offer that's not convoluted, et cetera, et cetera. We had to have all those conversations, and ultimately the decision was, we're not going to move ahead with this. We did go on to collaborate on a telesummit we did together. It was called the Intuition Summit. It was 3 years ago this fall, and a lot of work. Telesummits don't work as well anymore, I'm going to say. They haven't for a while, and they're a lot of work. But we did have a relatively successful one. It was great for me. It was great for her. So we did end up collaborating on something, but we had to talk a lot about that first idea before we moved on. And I'm glad we did, because that would have taken over like the second half of 2013, and I wouldn't have made a lot of money at all, and that wouldn't have been okay. So, I'm just reviewing. So, since none of these are inherently bad or not going to work, what's the gal do? First thing I want you to do is assess the opportunity and really tune into your inner voice. Ask yourself if this is fear. I mean, hard questions, y'all. Is this fear? Am I afraid to step out on my own? Am I afraid to be seen for my work? Does it feel safer to talk about essential oils than it does curing cancer? Maybe. And do an honest assessment of why you're being pulled to this work, why you're feeling the need to add anything, et cetera. Just really be honest with yourself. Now, next, if you choose to go ahead and continue with whatever that activity is, you know, please, for the love that all that is holy, have a revenue income money plan. Have a strategy backing up the activities. So you use the oils, and that's kind of your first touch, and you do when I say touch, it doesn't have to be actual touch, but, you know, like that's the first thing you introduce people to, and you talk about the oils, and then you segue them into a next thing, and you're talking more about your coaching or your nutrition or whatnot. You have a plan. You know that at, you know, I'm going to do a whole thematic, you know, all this creation of posts or videos, and there's a theme here, and, you know, 6 weeks from now I'm going to make an offer, and the offer is going to align to the theme. Something like that. Does not have to be complex. You know, it, however simple. I want you to have a plan for how the money's going to come in. A plan, a goal. I mean, heck, it's a goal. It's an intention. Like, if you're not even talking about the money, the other thing I find all, you know, oh, I'm going to do an event with my, you know, with this gal I met, and and I'll ask, so, you know, what's the program going to cost? Nobody's talked about it. No, you know, what's the upsell? Nobody's talked about it. Nobody's thought of it. We have to think about these things, y'all. It's part of being a business owner. And the reason we don't think about these things very often is because we're afraid of them. Our brain, you know, it's like, you know, what is it? I accidentally forgot. You know that old expression, I accidentally forgot? Well, our brain accidentally forgets to think about the money a lot of the time because we got niggling fears around asking for it, making an offer, what people think of us, what if I make so much money that everybody's mad at me, or lots of stuff. So, yeah, we accidentally forget to talk about money or to have the revenue strategy. And it does not have to be a big deal, and it does not have to be complex or cumbersome. It just has to be a focus for y'all. Excellent. So I know, you know, I've poured a lot into you. I'm conscious of the time. I'll open up the line for some questions in a minute, see what's percolating for you guys over there. And I know some of y'all are all set. You've gotten a ton of clarity from today, new awarenesses, and that there are some of you who might like even more clarity on what you've got going on individually specific to your business and your heart and mind. So if that's you and you'd like to get some extra clarity, I'd love to invite you into a conversation with me. We will explore where you're at, what's working, what's not working, and figure out, you know, some of these questions. We can talk through the assessment together. And I'll make a suggestions along the way. You know, it might not even be specific to these things, but certainly if you've got one of these things and you wanna check in and talk to somebody who knows, you know, has seen a lot, you know, I'll give you my honest opinion, you know, and we can talk about the pros and cons of that activity and help you get some sort of revenue plan going for sure. Could be something else. Yeah, I'll make suggestions along the way. And certainly refer you to any training programs or books, perhaps to a colleague if that makes sense, or even working together one-on-one or in one of my programs if that seems like a good idea. So if that sounds good, how you apply for the conversation is you simply go to talkwithsarah.com. I'm going to spell that, talkwithsarah.com. talkwithsarah.com, and I will get back to you, and we will set up a time to talk, and we will have fun. We always have fun in my world. And, yeah, I think lastly, I just want to say an honor, each of you, for being here, each one of you for your deep commitment to helping people, to getting your work out there in a bigger way, to really stretching yourself in service. I mean, that's so much of these businesses, stretching ourselves in service and in service of others, in service of helping people, in the service of the world. So thank you. I know you guys are up to amazing things. I know all of you are messengers and light workers in your own special blend of it. And I want to honor you guys, and I want to help you be aware, and I hope this masterclass has given you guys a ton of insight on ways that we could be hiding that feel really, really good, and we may not realize we're hiding for a long, long time, if ever. And with that, I will come over here and I will open up the line and we can do some questions. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it.